Good morning, everyone. It is good to, quote, see you this morning. I hope you all are doing well and healthy. These are interesting days. My name is Bill Blank. I serve the Zion Mennonite Church as an intentional interim pastor, and these adjustments that we make in life do create in us a lot of feelings, like Cynthia mentioned, for the children's time. But that reassurance from that last hymn, God's taking care of us. And so we, again, recognize that in these times and in these days, certainly. This morning, we're looking at a text in John chapter 15, a couple of verses at the end, and then into 16, and continuing our Lenten theme here as we approach Easter, recognizing all of this is coming about much differently than perhaps we'd anticipated. But we're going to continue through with these themes, focusing in on we behold his glory. So again, connecting to God's glory. So let me read the text this morning, starting John chapter 15, verse 26. I'll read the whole way through it and then come back and make some comments. John 15, verse 26. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I've told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can no longer see me. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Jesus went on to say, in a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. So in looking at this text, along with our theme for this Lenten series, to think about the Holy Spirit is God's glory. And that we, as the church, are part of the Holy Spirit's glory, part of his presence, purpose, and peace. So I'm going to look at those three aspects of the Holy Spirit: his presence, purpose, and peace. And I want to read, this is from the Mennonite Confession of Faith. Article 3 is all about the Holy Spirit. In the first paragraph, it says, "We believe in the Holy Spirit, the eternal Spirit of God, who dwelled in Jesus Christ, who empowers the church, who is the source of our life in Christ, and who is poured out on those who believe as the guarantee of our redemption and the redemption of creation." So in recognizing some of what is in our own faith history, our own understanding of God's word, the importance of the Holy Spirit, and to recognize the Holy Spirit is present. Jesus promised that he, to his disciples here in John 15 and 16, again, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples right before the crucifixion. So it's leading right up into Easter. And he's saying to them, God will send to us the Holy Spirit. And he calls it the Spirit of truth. the Advocate, all these are the promised Holy Spirit. And verse 7 in John 16 is one that I have found interesting for these days in which we live, because it says, "Very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away." And I wonder how the disciples would have heard that, probably with some of the same feelings, some of the things that Cynthia mentioned in regards to confused, upset, unsure, not knowing. This week I was reading this was a piece written by Ruth Haley Barton. She's an author. She is an executive director of the Transforming Center based out of close to Chicago. And she has done a lot of ministry in helping leaders in churches. And she was commenting in an article that I read this week on verse 7. And she says this: "This statement from Jesus is oddly helpful and encouraging. It points out that there are moments when it's loving to go away. And clearly, these days is one of those. In our current situation, to stay away is an expression of love and care for others, as much, if not more, as its protection for ourselves." So seeing this staying away, she says, as a loving gesture somehow helps. So in noticing the distance, the physical distance happening to us, and trying to stay connected in these creative ways, to think about the fact that we're not getting together, that we're not hugging and shaking hands, is an expression of our love, a gesture of that love. In this article, she goes on later and quotes Henry Nouwen, also author, pastor. Sure some of you are familiar with some of Henry Nouwen's writings, but Henry Nouwen, in looking at this text, also says, "In Jesus's absence, a new and more intimate presence became possible, a presence which nurtured and sustained and created desire to see him again." And I thought, well, that really rings true, because as we are distant from one another physically, the desire to see one another continues to grow. And to think about Jesus telling his disciples and telling us even today that his presence, physical presence, is not here, creates in us this desire to one day be able to see Jesus. But again, that promise of the Holy Spirit. And we see Jesus promise that here in this chapter with his disciples before his crucifixion. But that fulfillment then we see in Acts chapter 2. And we see the Holy Spirit coming upon all those that were gathered there. And I think about, for us today, in recognizing the Holy Spirit is present, is just an awareness that the Holy Spirit is indeed present. That in all that's going on, if we think back to being connected to Jesus, some of us were there together that Sunday morning where we tied those strings on the rope, that's that connection. And the Holy Spirit's presence helps us to keep that connection even when we can't physically be together. And so it's God at work through his Holy Spirit that continues to change our lives and direct us more towards what he desires for us. The Holy Spirit is present. And again, this is the connection to God's glory. We also see here in John 16 the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And we recognize, as we look again to think about this advocate, the Spirit, verse 8 in John 16, "When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment." Now, what is Jesus trying to communicate here? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit indeed has a purpose. And again, from a Confession of Faith and Mennonite perspective, Article 3 says later, it says, "The Holy Spirit calls people to repentance, convicts them of sin, and leads into the way of righteousness all those who open themselves to the working of the Holy Spirit." Again, noting these three concepts, sin, righteousness, and judgment, that the Holy Spirit is present to convict, to show, to communicate, to prove. That's all the same word there. But to bring testimony, to testify. But what does Jesus mean by sin? And he gives a description of that in verse 9. about sin because people do not believe in me. The sin that Jesus is talking about right there is belief in him, to believe in Jesus. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So all of us have had times when we've forgotten or we have maybe misunderstood this of how to believe in Jesus. And so that's what, when Jesus here says sin, he's talking about that sin of unbelief. Now, Romans 3:24 is also a very important piece if we look at Romans chapter 3, that all of us also are justified freely by God's grace. And so in what I see happening in this text with the Holy Spirit is there's a conviction, there's the Holy Spirit is testifying, giving witness of sin, but also right alongside that is the Holy Spirit allowing us to understand God's grace. And we see that then in verse 10 about righteousness. Jesus says, I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And Jesus is seated at the right hand of God today. And that righteousness that Jesus is proclaiming to us is because not of what we do, not of what I can do, but what Jesus has done for us. If it's about my righteousness, Isaiah refers to our righteousness like filthy rags, rags that have been used to wipe down the doorknobs of our homes today, right? Those are filthy. We don't want anything to do with those anymore, so we throw them aside. If it's about my righteousness, it's not going to work, but it's about our righteousness through Jesus, this connection through the Holy Spirit to God. So, conviction of sin, that's unbelief in Jesus. This is the Holy Spirit at work. Holy Spirit's giving testimony, proving the world wrong in regards to righteousness. It's not just about what I can do, but about the fact that my righteousness comes from God through Jesus. And then this last one, judgment. Verse 11, and about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. So the prince of this world, being Satan, now stands condemned. It's already happened. And so the judgment of Satan is past. The sentencing is yet to come. And what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in us, as I see Jesus talk about it, is this understanding that I don't have to sit in judgment of others. But what I do need to recognize is that the Holy Spirit is revealing to me how God continues with his kingdom plans, and that Satan is already judged. So that it frees me up, as how I would look at it, it frees me up to not have to sit in judgment of others, but to recognize God's judgment against Satan has already happened. And so in that, recognizing that the Holy Spirit is at work, it goes on then to say, and this is verses 12 to 15, is this seeing the Trinity, where Jesus is interplaying both the Holy Spirit and God and himself, all three of them interconnected here. And it's a great portrayal of God, the three in one. And from this, what I see here is that the Holy Spirit's guiding us into this truth. And that when the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's poured out on all of us. And if you remember in Acts 2, Peter in his sermon reflects back to Joel, the Old Testament book, Joel, the prophet. And he says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions, even on all my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days. The Holy Spirit is being poured out, continues to be poured out, and is present in all of our lives, in our world, again, continuing to connect with the purpose of what he is about, what God is doing through the Holy Spirit in testifying and bringing conviction and revealing sin, righteousness, and judgment, but guiding us into truth. And in that truth, the Holy Spirit is bringing peace. And so if our understanding of how God is speaking to us today is shaped by the Holy Spirit through what the Holy Spirit's presence and purpose is about, it's going to bring about in us a sense of peace. The rest of chapter 16 that we didn't read this morning talks about the disciples not really understanding Jesus, not really understanding what was going on. Jesus trying to make it more clear to them. In verse 29, Jesus says, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Now you're speaking clearly and without figures of speech." So they're starting to understand it. And now they say, "We can see that you know all things and you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." Then Jesus responds. He says, "Do you now believe? A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me." And verse 33, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So the Holy Spirit is bringing about peace in our hearts. And this is through the work that Jesus has done, as recognizing that God continues to be at work in this world, bringing about peace, knowing we're going to have trouble in this world. And we're in a time right now that I would say feels like trouble, this unknown, this concern, worry, even fear. And some of that for us is about health, physical health, mental health, spiritual health. Has to do with our jobs, our incomes, but take heart. Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." The Holy Spirit is about bringing peace into our lives, that comfort that comes through the Spirit. Part of what the Spirit's work is about, Paul picks up in a theme that he, in several of his letters, but 1 Corinthians, he picks this up in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to read for us from here as we get kind of an understanding of what this means for us today. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 and following. I'll probably read to 16. It says, Paul writing this to the church in Corinth, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age. We are coming to nothing." Who are coming to nothing? "No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God had destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, 'What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of this world, but it's the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us." This is verses 10, 11, and 12. And I think this is, for me, a key in understanding the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. It says that all these things are from God, and God's revealed to us his Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is searching all things, and the Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God. And each of us, as believers, have the Holy Spirit. We haven't received the Spirit that's from the world. We've received the Holy Spirit, and that's the Spirit that knows God's thoughts. So I would think of it this way. If we have the Holy Spirit knows God's thoughts, you and I can know God's thoughts through the Holy Spirit. That's interesting. And I think in that is a lot of hope of understanding where we are today, the challenges we're facing, how to continue to work and walk together as the body of Christ. Verse 13, "This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words." And it goes on and talks some more about the impact that that has on us today, that we have the thoughts of God. So if I have God's thoughts, or potentially can have God's thoughts through the Holy Spirit, in recognizing the Holy Spirit's present, Holy Spirit has this purpose, bringing about peace. What do I do with that today? What is the steps. What do I learn from this? What's practical for us today, for this week, in the things before us, and trying to understand this new world that we're kind of walking through together? Here's what I think. Number one, I need to pray. If I'm going to have the capacity to listen, to hear the Holy Spirit, to have God's thoughts, I have to spend time in prayer. And suddenly in our world today, we have time that we're not commuting to the office. We have time that we're not, at school. What do we do with this time? Trying to spend time praying. Secondly, is to listen. If the Holy Spirit is indeed in us, each of us as believers, how can we listen to that Holy Spirit? And I know one way to get clearer on what God is trying to tell me is to spend time in His Word, to read the Bible. And as I do that, to try and listen to maybe even what the Holy Spirit is saying through these words. And maybe these are words I've read over and over, time and time before, but yet God reveals new things and has that ability to show us new things in things we've read many times before. So pray, listen, read the Bible. And then this next one is where we got to be creative these days, and it's to connect with others. Stay connected with others. Sharing what's happening in our own lives, sharing how God's revealing Himself to us, to be able to connect with one another. And so some of us are trying to stay connected as best we can through all this technology we have, FaceTime, Zoom. We're setting these meetings up. We need to keep doing that, working at Bible studies together, even though we can't be physically connected with one another. These are the practical pieces of understanding how we can take this knowledge, this wisdom of God, and apply it to our lives today. The Holy Spirit is at work in our world today. Through us as believers, the Holy Spirit is at work in all that's going on around the world. I rest in confidence this morning knowing that this COVID-19 virus is not a surprise to God. God's still at work doing amazing things. Brandon, you shared this morning regarding that hymn that was written when that pastor was snowed in. So no pressure, anyone, but a few hymns coming out of this would be good. But God is at work, and that we're confident in that. And we recognize that what is happening in the world today creates in us anxiety and fear and some of those feelings that can really pull us down, pull me down. But to know that God is in control, His Holy Spirit is at work, gives me confidence to engage and enter into the day that is before us and what's going to be happening around us this week. The Holy Spirit, God's glory. We have that. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for today. Thank you for these words from Scripture that we've looked at this morning. I would ask, God, that you would continue to reveal yourself to us, give us confidence, show us again and again how your Holy Spirit is at work in our own lives, our own hearts, and give us glimpses of how you are at work in others and around the world, God. God, I thank you that you are gracious and loving towards us as we continue to navigate these days of being separated from one another. We would ask that you would just continue to keep us healthy, keep us free from illness, protect us, God, but also, God, allow us to see maybe in new and creative ways how you want us to show your love to one another and to others. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right, let's do some more singing. This next hymn comes from the Green Sing the Journey book. It's number 32, If You Believe and I Believe. Unmute yourself, Jana. I don't think we can hear you.
People in the gallery view, can you just wave to me if you can hear me? Yeah. Hello. I don't know if all of you remember the first week Bill was with us, but he said two things that week that I can't quit forgetting about. One was, God's going to look for surprises. What are going to be the surprises that happens among us? We've had surprises. The other was, maybe God wants us to give up church for Lent. And that just kept, you know, coming back to me. Church looks different now. We're not in a building. We can't be face to face. But I think because of those two comments Bill made, we need to keep listening to him. I think they were prophetic. So please continue to pray for Bill and I as we navigate and maneuver how to be pastors during this time. It's really hard. I'm a people person, so it's hard to not be able to be with you. Even going out other places, you know, they've put big red squares on the floor of the grocery store that says keep your distance. And so everybody's not really interacting. And that feels cold and different. So I want to remind you that we do have an online bulletin that you can go and look at. We're going to keep doing that. Margaret Shetler says thank you for all of the birthday cards that she received. She was able to have a party with lots of balloons and cake, and three of her children were with her on the day of her birthday. So thank you, Zion, for remembering her and sending her those cards. I'm just looking in my little group chat to see if anyone has some other prayer requests, and I don't at this time. So we just want to continue to find ways to encourage one another. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, you're going to be getting an email from Bill or I or someone else in the congregation that's just a short devotional. It can be something that's spiritual insight or encouragement for all of us. So we would like to hear from you. If you have something that has been kind of profound in your mind and your time spent with God through our lock-in or whatever, through our isolation, would you send those to our emails? Let's pray together. Lord, you alone are worthy of honor and glory and praise. And we know that you are with us during this time, during this uncertain time of this global impact of the coronavirus. So we come together as your people, asking that you would heal those who are sick, and you would protect those who are caring for others. We ask that you would give our leaders extra wisdom as they lead in this pandemic and economic uncertainty. We ask that you would strengthen your global church and reveal to us how we can partner together to reach the needs of those around us. Calm our fears, fill us with your hope, your joy, and peace as we lean into trust in you. And Lord, may this pandemic pave the way for our spiritual renewal, that we can draw closer to you during this time, that your Holy Spirit would speak into our lives and minister to our needs. We ask these things in your glory and power and healing. Amen.
It's time for the sending song. Our final song this morning is going to be number 76 from the Sing the Journey, The Lord Bless You and Keep You. And this recording is from our own Gingrich family.
We'll be doing this again next week, so tune in again. If you had trouble technology-wise, please reach out to us, and we'll try to help you as best we can. Next Sunday, Frank Howard will be bringing the message, so we want to be in prayer for him this week as he prepares as well. For the benediction from Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.